Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 21. Abraham's faith was identical with ours. This faith was prefigured by the words and actions of the old patriarchs. But that our faith was also prefigured in Abraham, and that he was the patriarch of our faith, and, as it were, the prophet of it, the Apostle has very fully taught, when he says in the Epistle to the Galatians, "He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they who are of faith, those same are the children of Abraham. But the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, announced beforehand to Abraham that in him all nations should be blessed. So then, they who are of faith shall be blessed with faithful Abraham." For which reasons the Apostle declared that this man was not only the prophet of faith, but also the father of those who from among the Gentiles believe in Jesus Christ, because his faith and ours are one and the same. For he believed in things future as if they were already accomplished, because of the promise of God. And in like manner we do also, because of the promise of God, behold through faith that inheritance laid up for us in the kingdom. The history of Isaac, too, is not without a symbolical character. For in the Epistle to the Romans, the Apostle declares, "Moreover, when Rebekah had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, she received answer from the word, that the purpose of God according to election, choice, might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people are in your body. And the one people shall overcome the other, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" From which it is evident that not only were there prophecies of the patriarchs, but also that the children brought forth by Rebekah were a prediction of the two nations, and that the one should indeed be the greater, but the other the less, that the one also should be under bondage, but the other free, but that both should be of one and the same Father. Our God, one and the same, is also their God, who knows hidden things, who knows all things before they can come to pass. And for this reason has he said, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." If anyone, again, will look into Jacob's actions, he shall find them not destitute of meaning, but full of import with regard to the dispensations. Thus, in the first place, at his birth, since he laid hold on his brother's heel, he was called Jacob, that is, the supplanter, one who holds but is not held, binding the feet but not being bound, striving and conquering, grasping in his hand his adversary's heel, that is, victory. For to this end was the Lord born, the type of whose birth he set forth beforehand, of whom also John says in the Apocalypse, "He went forth conquering, that he should conquer." In the next place, Jacob received the rights of the firstborn, when his brother looked on them with contempt. Even as also the younger nation received him, Christ, the first begotten, when the elder nation rejected him, saying, "We have no king but Caesar." But in Christ every blessing is summed up, and therefore the latter people has snatched away the blessings of the former from the father, just as Jacob took away the blessing of this Esau. For which cause his brother suffered the plots and persecutions of a brother, just as the church suffers this selfsame thing from the Jews. In a foreign country were the 12 tribes born, the race of Israel. inasmuch as Christ was also, in a strange country, to generate the 12-pillared foundation of the church. Various colored sheep were allotted to this Jacob as his wages, and the wages of Christ are human beings, who from various and diverse nations come together into one cohort of faith, as the Father promised him, saying, "Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." And as from the multitude of his sons the prophets of the Lord arose, there was every necessity that Jacob should beget sons from the two sisters, even as Christ did from the two laws of the one and the same Father, and in like manner also from the handmaids, indicating that Christ should raise up sons of God, both from freemen and from slaves after the flesh, bestowing upon all, in the same manner, the gift of the Spirit, who vivifies us. But Jacob did all things for the sake of the younger, she who had the handsome eyes, Rachel, who prefigured the church, for which Christ endured patiently, who at that time indeed, by means of his patriarchs and prophets, were prefiguring and declaring beforehand future things, fulfilling his part by anticipation in the dispensations of God, and accustoming his inheritance to obey God, and to pass through the world as in a state of pilgrimage, to follow his word, and to indicate beforehand things to come. For with God there is nothing without purpose or due signification. Chapter 22. Christ did not come for the sake of the men of one age only, but for all who, living righteously and piously, had believed in him, and for those too who shall believe. Now, in the last days, when the fullness of the time of liberty had arrived, the Word himself did, by himself, wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion, when he washed the disciples' feet with his own hands. For this is the end of the human race inheriting God, that, as in the beginning, by means of our first parents, we were all brought into bondage, by being made subject to death, so, at last, by means of the new man, all who from the beginning were his disciples, having been cleansed and washed from things pertaining to death, should come to the life of God. For he who washed the feet of the disciples sanctified the entire body and rendered it clean. For this reason, too, he administered food to them in a recumbent posture, indicating that those who were lying in the earth were they to whom he came to impart life. As Jeremiah declares, "The Holy Lord remembered his dead Israel, who slept in the land of sepulture, and he descended to them to make known to them his salvation, that they might be saved." For this reason also were the eyes of the disciples weighed down when Christ's passion was approaching, and when, in the first instance, the Lord found them sleeping, he let it pass, thus indicating the patience of God in regard to the state of slumber in which men lay. But coming the second time, he aroused them, and made them stand up, in token that his passion is the arousing of his sleeping disciples, on whose account he also descended into the lower parts of the earth, to behold with his eyes the state of those who were resting from their labors, in reference to whom he did also declare to the disciples, "Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see and hear what you do see and hear." For it was not merely for those who believed in him in the time of Tiberius Caesar that Christ came, nor did the Father exercise his providence only for the men who are now alive, but for all men altogether, who from the beginning, according to their capacity, in their generation have both feared and loved God, and practiced justice and piety towards their neighbors, and have earnestly desired to see Christ and to hear his voice. Wherefore he shall, at his second coming, first rouse from their sleep all persons of this description, and shall raise them up, as well as the rest who shall be judged, and give them a place in his kingdom. For it is truly one God who directed the patriarchs toward his dispensation, and has justified the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. For as in the first we were prefigured, so on the other hand are they represented in us, that is, in the church, and they received the recompense for those things which they accomplished. Chapter 23. The patriarchs and prophets, by pointing out the advent of Christ, fortified thereby, as it were, the way of posterity to the faith of Christ. And so the labors of the apostles were lessened, inasmuch as they gathered in the fruit of the labors of others. For which reason the Lord declared to the disciples, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the districts, for they are white already to harvest. For the harvest man receives wages and gathers fruit for life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. For in this is the saying true, that one sows and another reaps. For I have sent you forward to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Who then are they that have labored and have helped forward the dispensations of God? It is clear that they are the patriarchs and prophets, who even prefigured our faith and disseminated through the earth the coming of the Son of God, who and what he should be, so that posterity, possessing the fear of God, might easily accept the coming of Christ, having been instructed by the prophets. And for this reason it was that when Joseph became aware that Mary was with child, and was minded to put her away secretly, the angel said to him in sleep, 'Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. For she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.' And exhorting him to this, he added, 'Now all this has been done, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken from the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel.' Thus influencing him by the words of the prophet, and warding off blame from Mary, pointing out that it was she who was the virgin mentioned by Isaiah beforehand, who should give birth to Emmanuel. Wherefore, when Joseph was convinced beyond all doubt, he both did take Mary, and joyfully yield obedience in regard to all the rest of the education of Christ, undertaking a journey into Egypt and back again, and then a removal to Nazareth. For this reason, those who did not know the Scriptures, or the promise of God, or the dispensation of Christ, at last called him the father of the child. For this reason, too, did the Lord himself read at Capernaum the prophecies of Isaiah. 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, to preach the gospel to the poor; he has sent me, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and sight to the blind.' At the same time, showing that it was he himself who had been foretold by Isaiah the prophet, he said to them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' For this reason also, Philip, when he had discovered the eunuch of the Ethiopian's queen, reading these words which had been written, 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb before the shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away.' And all the rest which the prophet proceeded to relate in regard to his passion and his coming in the flesh, and how he was dishonored by those who did not believe him, easily persuaded him to believe in him that he was Christ Jesus, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, and suffered whatever the prophet had predicted, and that he was the Son of God, who gives eternal life to men. And immediately, when Philip had baptized him, the eunuch departed from him. For nothing else but baptism was wanting to turn him who had already been instructed by the prophets. He was not ignorant of God the Father, nor of the rules as to the proper manner of life, but was merely ignorant of the coming of the Son of God, which when he had become acquainted with in a short space of time, he went on his way rejoicing, to be the herald in Ethiopia of Christ's coming. Therefore, Philip had no great labor to go through with regard to this man, because he was already prepared in the fear of God by the prophets. For this reason, too, did the apostles, collecting the sheep which had perished from the house of Israel, and discoursing to them from the Scriptures, prove that this crucified Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they persuaded a great multitude, who, however, already possessed the fear of God. And there were in one day baptized 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 men. Chapter 24. The conversion of the Gentiles was more difficult than that of the Jews. The labors of those apostles, therefore, who engaged in the former task, were greater than those who undertook the latter. Wherefore also Paul, since he was the apostle of the Gentiles, says, I labored more than them all. For the instruction of the former, the Jews, was an easy task, because they could allege proofs from the Scriptures, and because those who were in the habit of hearing Moses and the prophets did also readily receive the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the life of God, he who by the spreading forth of hands did destroy Amalek and vivify man from the wound of the serpent by means of faith which was exercised towards him. As I have pointed out in the preceding book, the apostle did, in the first place, instruct the Gentiles to depart from the superstition of idols, and to worship one God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and the Framer of the whole creation, and that his Son was his Word, by whom he founded all things, and that he in the last times was made a man among men, that he reformed the human race, but destroyed and conquered the enemy of man, and gave to his handiwork victory against the adversary. But although those who were of the circumcision still did not obey the words of God, for they were despisers, yet they were previously instructed not to commit adultery, nor fornication, nor theft, nor fraud, and that whatsoever things are done to our neighbor's prejudice were evil and detested by God. Wherefore also, they did readily agree to abstain from these things, because they had been thus instructed. But they had to teach the Gentiles also this very thing, that works of such a nature were wicked, prejudicial, and useless, and destructive to those who engaged in them. Wherefore, he who had received the apostolate to the Gentiles labored more than those who preached the Son of God among those of the circumcision. For they were assisted by the Scriptures, which the Lord confirmed and fulfilled, in coming such as he had been announced. But here there was a certain foreign erudition and a new doctrine, that the gods of the nations not only were no gods at all, but even the idols of demons, and that there is one God who is above all principality and dominion and power and every name which is named, and that his word, invisible by nature, was made palpable and visible among men, and did descend to death, even the death on the cross. Also, that those who believe in him will be incorruptible and not subject to suffering, and shall receive the kingdom of heaven. These things, too, were preached to the Gentiles by word, without the aid of the Scriptures. Wherefore also, those who preached among the Gentiles underwent greater labor. But on the other hand, the faith of the Gentiles is proved to be of a more noble description, since they followed the word of God without the instruction derived from the sacred scriptures. End of chapter 24.